Okay, we got a little bumper.
Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I am trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
I'll see you.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Atawehis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
OCO again, Water this evening. Let's see, what I usually say a little bit more in Cherokee, but it slips my mind. But all it means is I'm fine. How are you? Tonight we've got going to be visiting with an old friend of an old friend of mine. Back when she was a Watson, I traveled with Karen Nanaba. I'm not sure how she pronounces her name nowadays. But we're all friends, and we're really looking forward to talking with Patricia Ann Davis. She holds a master's degree, and I guess she's here.
Yes, I am.
Why don't you just just breathe for a minute. You know, take it easy. I was just starting to tell folks about you, and I don't know whether you heard that or not, but back when she was a Wanson, Nanaba and I traveled together for a year.
And yes, I did hear a little bit of that.
Yeah, and we were up with people together, and I understand you've been rushing around and been pretty busy and moving, and tell us all about it, and I'll try not to interrupt.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be heard, and I have a beautiful message from the Blessing Way of Life that is translated from the Navajo esoteric or spiritual language. And I would like to first introduce myself appropriately in the Navajo language, even though I'm two different tribes. I was born and grew up, and I am registered with the Navajo Nation. So I'll take a minute to let people know what this language sounds like. It's a sacred language, and it's an introduction of the extended clan medicine people that I'm born into.
Oh.
Patricia Ann Davis and Shia, a Mississippi band of Choctaw and Shla, Tachitni, Bashalchin, a Mississippi band of Choctaw, Ada Shache, Kia Ani, Ada Shanala, Ado Diyin, Dene'e, Biyaja and Shle, Do Nihigli. And there you have it, my mother's lineage and my father's lineage, and the two medicine, clan medicine extended family that I was born into, and the affirmation at the end that states, to everyone, I'm a sacred, precious child of Creator within creation, and so is every person in any land and any language. And what I have to say and teach today, hopefully it inspires and guides people into a decision making in which we can all do our part in stewarding the four elements, the four sacred elements of earth, water, fire, and air, in which Indigenous people have stewarded for centuries and generations.
Oh.
And so I'm open to questions, or I could continue with not only what I do and how I go about it.
Yeah, it goes far back into your childhood as you want to, just time's yours.
And even my father and grandfather, uncle, aunties, relatives. So to the general public, you are all my relatives. And from there, I greet you as Ya'at'e Shik'e Shidne. And in the affirmation and greeting, there isn't any way to say, but not you. And the way I can describe that to you is that we call ourselves, we have spiritual names, and Navajo is not it's an imposed label on us. So I will tell you the three spiritual names. Earth surface people, and then five-finger people, and that translates to humane being with the E. And so notice that no one was left out, and also in my greeting, no one is left out. And so when I'm translating, it's simple, it is not complicated, and it's not confusing, because Indigenous tribal languages, and especially American Indian languages, are speaking the vibration interconnected with natural order. So I'll describe the natural order to you. And when I say translate it from Blessed Way Teaching, my clan relatives interpret that literally as the ceremony itself for restoring our thinking to our to the appropriate function of our thinking as holy thinking. She translated it literally as Hojoja is translated and means literally living the loving way as a way of life. And so that is a message for us at these times when we were when we are in crises of witnessing the violence occurring around us. And it was my own father who said to me at a very young age, undo the thinking that has caused so much suffering and violence to our people. And so I have spent a lifetime to learn the Western culture language of pathology, which just means any out-of-balance condition, in order to translate and simplify authentically and with integrity what these principles are. So let me just briefly define what I mean by natural order, because our planet and the universe is governed by the laws of nature, natural law, spiritual law. I'm calling it natural order. And it's within time and direction, because we must have a footing between Mother Earth and Father Sky. That is beginning with east, south, west, and north, the four cardinal direction. And then there is holy thinking, clear and congruent thinking, and strong planning. And then a blessed way of life is living the loving way by acknowledging and affirming and having gratitude that we're all related and that we're living in Hojo, which means holiness with H, all-encompassing holiness with H and wholeness with W. And then we have reverence. That reverence is for ourself, our sacred self, and our sacred place in the universe. So where that's power within us, we have that, to have power with others, and that's what eliminates the need for power over. And then accordingly, again, this is clockwise. Then we have sunrise, noon, and evening, and midnight. And then we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. And then we have white people, and red people, and yellow people, and black people. And we're all a jewel, meaning that we all have our treasure, knowledge, and language, and culture. And these are the unifying principles. And that's right. People say four sacred mountains, but actually there are a seven in the ceremonial context, and that is east, south, west, and north, and then there would be a doorway. The doorway on the right side is hard goods, and the south side is on the left side. It's you're facing east, that would be soft goods. So everything comes through that doorway from Creator and creation. That means love and peace and abundance. And then the smoke hole in the home, in the, or we say Ho'one, you know, the Shandin Ho'one, the house made of sunshine. That's what is our ceremonial place, which represents the womb. Also, they represent the universe. That's what I mean by natural order.
When you get a chance, I do have a question.
I'm open.
Okay. Don't like to interrupt, and because it's just our work. But, I know the Creator watches over your people. I know what happened in May 1996. And it might sound strange, but somehow I was a special witness of something was going to happen. I moved into LaSalle Junction, which is about 50 miles north of Monticello. And that day, my son and I, it got starting to get warm. I believe it was the 4th or 5th. We were up on the roof of this mobile home, changing out the Excelsior pads and for cooling. And something just told me, look up. And I looked up, and there was a cloud eagle formation. And now, folks, there was nothing left of the imagination here. It lasted, and my son saw it too, right next to me on the roof. You could see every detail that you'd normally see on an eagle, including his little feet tucked up underneath him, and the way it was absolutely perfect. And there was a stiff wind coming out of the direction of Four Corners. I plotted it later. I figured it out. Well, anyway, this really shook me up. And, you know, a couple of weeks later, I was in town, and there was a Dene couple in Moab wanting to buy some music. And I told them what I saw. And they said, you're Bella Ghana, and you saw the cloud eagle? And I said, well, I'm Cherokee, and I saw, they said, well, my ma's a traditional down in Kayenta, and she saw it, a whole bunch of other people. And then I understand the next day, I guess you call it where they hold the Sundance, Rocky.
Yeah, that's big mountain.
Okay. And I understand that there was I got clippings out of the newspapers and I got them up online. I mean, there was the major newspapers all covered it. I mean, it was just when word got out, I understand that it was a mob scene there. But what I understood was that there was an older woman that had not spoken in years. She was in her 80s. And I guess her daughter-in-law or some kind of relation, and they just lived up there. And the two women heard what sounded like a whistle. And the older woman spoke for the first time in years and says, we've got company. And then the younger woman goes to the front door, opens it up, and there's two Navajo deities standing, a foot off the ground, inside a circle of white cornmeal, I guess. And anyway, and I guess they carried a message.
Yes, I've been to that.
That everybody, yo, wow. I mean, that shook me up. That was really something.
Why I spent a little bit of time describing the context, meaning the container for this conversation, and describing accurately the natural order.
Good.
Because in the natural order, in the spiritual realm, what we might call miracle, that is normal. And so what you're seeing in the clouds, or what you might say, are in English deities. We call them the yin, which are holy people. That means our ancestors, and it means us too, because we're all inherent. We have our inherent, so to speak, spark of divinity. And for lack of a better word, each person then is a holy person. And so that's how we are to make choice, simple in life, to say yes and no. And what we say yes and no to is to hojil, which is everybody wins, and it's constructive and life-affirming choice. And yet the planet and the people trapped and entrenched in win-lose, then that's no win for everyone, and then that's destructive and death-producing choice and consequence. So that's what I meant by a simple message for these times, because the natural order is how we're governed. And if we're out of balance and we violate that, we're experiencing now the consequence in nature and among humanity in terms of war and addiction and so on, violence. These are the proof. And so those beings had a message too, and they had a beautiful message to restore our thinking, like I said earlier, for its appropriate function. That's whole brain thinking. That's our conscience. We may access the designing the creative solutions for us to survive on this planet. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely.
And so I'm just going to ask you also be careful with the word Belagana because it's a slang word. It's a slang word. It doesn't really exist as a word. And it doesn't mean white people. It just means anybody.
Anybody
that has an attitude and behavior that they use their five senses as a weapon against themselves and others. So in its original form, in its original pronunciation, it is a diagnostic term.
Mm-hmm.
It's a descriptive term. And so it's probably not used in its original meaning. Yet that's the very reason why we're having this conversation, so that we can all pay attention to how we speak and how we want to manifest goodwill, the will to love and goodwill. Even though we say that, are we making choices accordingly? And so I've traveled to 9 different countries by invitation and by all expense paid because other people are interested in American Indians and how we live on reservations and particularly our healing systems. So what I have, the knowledge I have that I'm calling treasure knowledge, is how to. It's a sequencing of what healing is in terms of correction, and it's not coping. It's not a Western model. And we can talk about that if you want or ask another question.
Oh, absolutely. Please go into that.
Well, I did already describe we have choice. Win, constructive, and life-affirming choice. That is the term Hojo and the natural order in which we exist in. And then there's another term called Hocho, and that is win, lose, nobody wins, and destructive and death choice. So that's what we say yes and no to. And this healing process I named Indigenous Ceremonial Change Process. And it follows a ceremony. It follows an actual authentic ceremony. And so listen to it. It's using moral reasoning. We can do this anywhere, every day, in the family, at home, at work, in the community, in politics even. That is, name an out-of-balance condition. What is the out-of-balance condition? And then identify what is the root cause that keeps it out of balance. And then the next phase we call emptying. That just means to make all the corrections to change that root cause that keeps out of balance, something out of balance. Then there is a reframe, because we cannot reform anything morally, ethically wrong, and win-lose is morally, ethically wrong. So we reframe our thinking, meaning remember, reawaken, restore, reclaim our whole brain thinking and conscience. And then we can access, and then we have the conversation for designing the creative solutions with each of us using our inherent gifts for right livelihood. So that's the sequencing of an authentic. Every ceremony follows the sequencing. And it's not something foreign, complicated, or it's not confusing. It just follows how we're supposed to be using our whole brain thinking. And that's what I mean by our language is very descriptive. So it speaks in the natural order, and it doesn't leave anybody out. So it's universal. It's cross-cultural. It's inclusive and can be translated into any language.
Fascinating. Now, you've got, you're also Chata, and did you ever hear anything about migration, over ocean migrations that your people took to come here?
Yes, I have. Let me say something first about the Mississippi Band of Choctaw. My mother and father met in Haskell Indian School in Lawrence, Kansas. And my father brought my mother to Lukachukai, Arizona in 1929. I'm the 11th of 12 children. So these migrations over the ocean took place from Japan. I know that. People have told me that they came navigating the stars. And so we have language for that. We just call them Son'ian, which are the star people. Just like there are rock people, there are plant people, there are holy people, there are bird people, and so on like that. And this was long, long before European came from the other side, but this is from the west, like from Asia. And they navigated with the stars. So,
and of course,
yes,
up until 1945, at least in Tokyo University, they taught that that they migrated to those islands from across in the easterly direction. So they got around.
Yes, there's
and they left DNA in South America. And yeah, it's amazing. But
well,
I heard this. Reason why I asked is heard that for the Cherokee people also migrated here across the Eastern Ocean, and when they in the 30s when they came down from Harvard to look at our burials, they said, "Hey, these people are totally different from the people around them that are moon-faced." And they said their skeletons more closely resemble people from Northern Europe. And
let's look at the
but
context,
anyway,
meaning the container for this to happen, which is that people did not have language for conquest. They had language for stewarding and language for protecting and providing. That was territorial. So there was lots of travel, even North and South America and so on. There was lots of travel for various reasons, for trade, for medicine people to meet, for taking care of the land and the planet and the elements. So if you look at it from that context, yes, of course, that's what happened. Now, it's a different topic if we're talking about migration theories, and then or we're talking about creation stories and creation
whatever you want. I really didn't have any questions when we first spoke, but after that I remembered, oh, but I got to ask her about this, and so I jumped the gun. But no, please continue.
Sure.
I'm sorry.
Of course, anything you want to ask, said I'm open, because someone might not have access to this information from a different lens. So there is a distinction. The distinction doesn't mean dualistic, like one is right and wrong and so on. It just means that from a tribal language, there is creation stories which are not considered migration theory. So every tribe has their origins from a creation story, being born out of the Mother Earth and so on. And that's very different than migration story, which says that where did people originate and then where did they migrate to and so on. So I'll just make that distinction. And for most people, there's prophecies in the stories of origin. And so for us, the Diné people, and by the way, all tribal languages call themselves, like Comanches say Numina means people, Choctaws say Chata means people, we say Diné means people. Every tribe has their own name for themselves, which does mean people, but it also means humane being. So that's how we're originating through traveling through four worlds, and that just means that there's a learning between the worlds. when there were people got off track and they had to rebalance themselves. That's a story, creation story. But migration is a geographical movement from place to place. And so we know that people, for example, there are people in Canada and Alaska, the Athabascan language that sounds very similar to Apache and to Navajo language in Arizona and New Mexico. There are similar words.
And they both have bear clans. And they both have bear clans.
Well, the Navajo doesn't have animal clan. We have, so to speak, holy people. The bear is a symbol and a messenger. So the animals, what people call totems, actually are messengers, and they're not bad. They're just they're telling a story, and they're telling a story about what. There could be the negative side of the bear, who is angry and fighting and violent. And then there's a ceremony to empty that. We call it isko, means talk it out, cry it out, vomit out, sweat it out, drum it out, sing it out, dance it out. That stagnant energy that needs to be in a safe and supportive environment, place in which one can empty without judgment, without punishment, and without condemnation. That's where the ceremonial change process, that doesn't exist anywhere in the Western world. That's why it's so beneficial and effective and as the main part of a healing process, because there has to be a correction. So just talking about the bear, then what is restored to the person, that the message of the bear is spiritual strength and not this angry person that is might be coming back from, let's just say, from not being allowed to empty in a safe and supportive place in order to empty that. So that's the basis for healing. That's what it takes to do healing. So glad you brought that.
Is about that same time, back in the mid-90s, I had some close friends that lived nearby, and they were, most of them were, redheads and tall, white, but they danced at the powwows 2 weeks out of four. So anyway, they introduced me to an elder. I can't remember his name, but we did a traditional honor powwow for him just south of Cortez. And he'd had who he is, I'm sure. And such a special man. And but he was talking about Bear Clan, but it's kind of special that during the powwow, the Utes came over and did the bear dance. And my kid was the only white looking kid there. But who did the bear touch? I told him, I said, son, I said, you need to understand. I said, you've got Powhatan blood too, and that's patriarchal. So,
many, many tribes with bear clans.
Oh, yeah.
They do exist.
Oh,
and yes,
yeah.
I have been invited to the bear dance, and I have danced the bear dance in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Quite something.
There are bear clans, and it's a very powerful symbol, as well as eagle and so on.
I just loved living down there. Did Nanaba tell you about another person that traveled with us, Claudia Vigil? For a while, I understand she was chairwoman over at Dulce.
I lived in Dulce for 2 years, and I have very ancient grandmothers from that location. But I also wanted to mention, too, in terms of Mississippi Band of Choctaw and Navajo, Both of my mother and father's tribes are exiled from their homeland. Of course, Choctaws were on the Trail of Tears, and the Navajos were on what we call Huelte, the long walk. So most tribes were exiled from their homeland at one time or another, and a lot of them were supposed to go to Oklahoma, and my mother's people didn't go there. But Dulce is the Hikaria.
Yep, Hikaria. Yeah, I think the only tribe that didn't have to move was the Kansa. I think that, you know, I'm reaching back into stuff I read years ago, but I love living in the Four Corners area, and but we had our time there, and we had to move on, and you can see the bear's ears from our kitchen window. And the only thing,
well, there's
a great effort
to save them right now. You know that.
Yep.
Among the tribes.
Yeah, we're right there at Canyonlands. You know, we're 22 miles south, and there's nothing there. It was all mining company property. I had a friend, you know, 10 miles out in the desert that had been running a bed and breakfast out there, and the movie Geronimo was filmed. The very opening. West Duties, Geronimo, the very opening scene was shot aiming right at his bed and breakfast, but they had the camera angle so low you couldn't see it. But yeah, they lived out there for a while, and very special. The land literally sang to us there. It was you could hear it, and my wife could hear it too. She would say, "What is that?" And I say, "Okay, I'm going to hum it. Is this what you're hearing?" "Yeah, that's what she heard." And she heard it, but I heard it, volume spikes, you know. And it was really interesting. Of course, we were living for almost a year back in a red sandstone. It had been mined out, you know, like a cliff dwelling. But we were back in there, and there was no electricity running at night, and I'll tell you what, all those quartz crystals around us, just singing. And even after we moved up to the junction, we could still hear it. You know, when there would be, you know, we had unlimited supply of water there. We could do anything we want to, and we grew a lot of stuff there. But when the trucks weren't running and there was absolute silence around there, you could still hear the land singing. It was amazing.
And of course, and the wind too, because everything is energy, and how we use energy. We might have this understanding and this creation, and then we have to undo that. However, in nature, everything is alive. And so, yes, everything is speaking its own language. And even someone I heard recently recorded crickets, and they sound like a symphony. And it was just slowed down to a certain speed that it sounds musical. So
there's a formula for figuring out what the temperature is based on how many chirp. It's in the Boy Scout handbook, believe it or not. You can actually tell what the temperature is by counting chirps per minute, and then divide by this and add that, and you know.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard that one. But you know, when people say that, even tribal indigenous people and reservation people. By the way, I'm a total reservation Indian. I didn't grow up in a neighborhood or town or city, When people say, "Oh, it's in the middle of nowhere and there's nothing there," and missing all the colors like you describe of the sky and the images, and I grew up with the tumbleweeds and the red rocks. That was my playground. So that the colors, the sound, the beauty of it, and the quietness, or even the animals, the wind, everything, the stars. You don't have light pollution, and you can be your true spiritual self and not have to be distracted all the time. And I think that Americans haven't really valued self-reflection And we need to pay attention to our being instead of so much doing. I like to inspire people to do some self-reflection about how it is that we can have more conversations like this on the air, where we remind people of our true nature and our spiritual identity, and that we each can do our part in terms of bringing good energy in and speaking it and making decisions accordingly. That's what I'm interested in doing, and I love traveling and meeting people. And so that's why I'm over here and now in Shasta, California. Moved and lived very many places. However, I am launching an Indigenous Wisdom Institute in order to share this treasure knowledge to the general public. I have spent a lifetime simplifying, translating it, and now it's time to write it and get it out to the media, because we're so in need of guidance and comforting, and not to be fear-based and angry.
Oh, absolutely. You just had a community shooting I not too far from you, I guess. And
about an hour
I lived
away
up
and ready.
Yeah, I lived up in Siskiyou County for Happy Camp for 3 months, and unless you've ever visited part of the country, you wouldn't understand what I'm talking about. But it's an absolutely gorgeous area, but it's troubled. You could at least I could kind of feel the undercurrent.
Well, that's because people have been taught to tell their body wrong information. And
yeah,
that wrong information is that that power over and will, like brute force and power over and defiance will is going to make something happen. But no, it's destroying people, so we need to change our language in order to rebalance ourselves. And so I want to ask people in your audience to remind each other and to remind ourselves that we're all holy and sacred and humane beings with the E. That way we can teach our children to not, we won't recruit them to participate in their own demise by perpetuating what is currently going on in the world today. And
yes,
that's coming from the Navajo language is only speaking in Hojo, which is like saying to someone, soften yourself, tame yourself, be careful, and watch out for pay attention to your true self, and don't be leading people astray with something false, because it causes delay, and it's the delay, the oppression and delay that causes suffering. And maybe people don't really know that delay causes suffering. So those who are putting up obstacles are causing the delay that causes suffering.
You know, 20 years ago when I lived there, there was quite a upsurge of gang activity. And Navajo kids shaving their heads and going and joining the Hispanic gangs. And now I've been out of that area for a long time. Have things changed for the better or for the worse, or in the last 20 years since those two beings came to you, do you think you've been able to turn things around?
Yes and no. In terms of the message itself, yes, the spiritual beings that guide us and protect us, and how they come to give us a message – accordingly, is telling, is waking people, wakes people up. And then the gang activity you're talking about, you have to look at the fact that there are four phases of conquest that happen, and that is, that was invasion and genocide, which is mass murder, and then plunder, which is mass theft. From there, there's fear for survival, and that's a being wound, and the next one is conversion. So take us out of our sacred self in our sacred place in the universe and take away and replace it with a deficient self-image that has to be remediated externally to some end state of, like, salvation or redemption or enlightenment. We don't have that language. It doesn't exist. So then that instills, like, guilt and shame, the next layer. Now, this is the biggie, relocation and boarding school, which is don't speak your language, and you totally negate your culture and your selfhood. So that's what is loss of language and culture, and that's the cause of alcohol and drug use. It's numbing the pain. So that's transgenerational. That means every generation is born into this unresolved anger from being violated over the centuries, and then it gets displaced. And the next one is exploitation and victimization. That means to pit tribal people against each other. And then we're now in Renaissance, so to speak. That means to remember and reawaken. So there's quite a few of us who are advocating for teaching ceremonial language, because many people don't even know that they don't know at true levels, that they don't know that they don't know that they're speaking tribal words with European thinking. An example of that right now I can think of is the word azet. It means medicinal herb in the context of the natural order, but that word does not mean prescription drugs. So that's an example of speaking tribal word with European thinking. So that's where the Renaissance, the way, remembering and reawakening to ceremonial language and teaching that instead of the European definition, trying to equate the two languages. They're in two different thinking systems. English is in consciousness and perception, and reality is relative to perception. So there is people polarizing into adversary and conflict and perpetual warfare. So our language is speaking from conscience. That's where indigenous wisdom and knowledge is. And then there is reality is exact, like gravity. And then you have group consensus, and then you have spiritual morality. So that is the thinking system of the Navajo language or indigenous tribal languages. They're in two different thinking systems. English is actually a trade, commerce, and property language, an abstract language. So these young people went through these, we all went through these four phases of conquest. And so they are so far removed, what they're doing is self-sabotaging. Everyone needs a sense of love and belonging, and they can only get it with whatever race they are, if they're indigenous tribal people or Latino, Chicano, any race of people that is so alienated from their spiritual identity will look to a gang and gang-related activities just for that belonging. So we have to find this love and belonging and identity as a spiritual being at a very young age for young people to discover their inherent gifts in order to participate by giving healthy expression to them and then be rewarded for the healthy expression of their own gift. And our school system doesn't allow that. It's mostly memorizing unrelated information. It's not meaningfully connected. And so these things have to be corrected in order for us to be living in a civil, what is called civil society, meaning that we our focus is and priority is peacemaking within ourselves, because the war within is projected outward into enemy creation. So unless we correct that intrapersonally within ourselves, we won't be projecting that outward. And then we would relate in a different way to each other, which is that we're all related. And that's an affirmation that I spoke not only in English but in the Dene Bezad, which is the people's sacred language. And so it's really exciting, and I'm so happy and glad to be talking to you and to be able to say these hopefully inspiring words.
Hey.
Anytime
you have a message, you want to get it out, give us a week or two notice, and we'll get you back on.
Okay, I'll just tell your audience that they can find me by Googling. You can just even Google my name. And it's a very Welsh boarding school name. It's Patricia Ann with the E Davis. Patricia Ann Davis. My tribes, Choctaw, Navajo. You can Google that. You can look on YouTube. You can look at my website, which is lowercase, all one word, nativeamericanconcepts.wordpress.com. You can also look on Facebook page for Indigenous Wisdom Institute, now launching in Shasta, California.
Outstanding. I forgot to mention, my mother's grew up in Vicksburg, and that's my home. You know, I wasn't born there, but that's, you know. And can't tell you how much I love Mississippi, and very, very close to my heart. And I know I have a friend, Will Blaza, was beaten to just about dead some years back, and they healed him down there. I guess he was on the road, and I'm not sure what happened, but I've been doing this on and off for 14 years, and it's been at least 10 years. And your people and my people, your people and my people were part of probably, if not the biggest, which might have been the Powhatan Alliance, but the Chickamauga Confederacy. And
That's
Davis.
Right.
Before we go, Jefferson Davis, if you happen to be a descendant of his, and there are a lot of them, he's a descendant of Pocahontas, bona fide, and that's according to Governor of Virginia that wrote up a big book about her genealogy. But anyway, we got to run. Appreciate you. Thank you for everything.
It was given to me to my father in boarding school, and thank you. I appreciate so much.
Yeah, I don't mean to run you off.
My mother was born in Standing Pine, Mississippi.
I
like to honor her there. And Philip Martin, who was her tribal leader forever, was my brother-in-law. He's passed. Gratitude.
And my mother's dad's people, they're in the Confederate Army. the entire command except for the XO, and who is my direct ancestor, and his brother, who is my uncle, battle of Big Black Bridge. But I love Mississippi.
Dear.
I love its history. Anyway, good night, everybody.
And gratitude for this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patricia. Good night now.
Good night.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us, and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now. Friends, this is Will Blue Otter, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Oklahoma Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the Standard of Sincerity and Vow of Poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status,
and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, the mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. One with